it because I've fought this, lived it, walked it out, even if it was hard. Passionate about it. So today's message is called Reset, Recommission, Relaunch. Reset, Recommission, Relaunch. Reset, Recommission, Relaunch. Think about what phase you're in right now. Reset, Recommission, Relaunch. We're going to be probably digging into the story of Moses the most, camping out in Exodus 2 through 3. It's a happy new year because it's a new year, right? Right? Anybody ever gone through those? Now listen, it's just real talking. I have been through seasons, not the current one, but in the past, because like I said, I had to walk out this message. I'm not preaching at you like I had to walk it out. Where you go, that year was awful. You know when the ball drops and you're supposed to, and they do the look backs, they flash back over the year, you know, or maybe your cell phone gives you all the pictures of the last year and you go, delete, 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 delete. Wow. Ooh, delete. I don't want, oh, that's like, you know what I mean? You've had that year. Come on, you guys. You've had that year where you're just trying to like forget it. You are so glad it is the next calendar page. In fact, you're going to burn the old, for all, anybody still old school person that loves a paper calendar? Like I remember, guys, listen, I'm 44. I remember going to the mall so excited to pick out a new calendar. And like, you remember like the kiosk and all the different ones? It's exciting to pick out a new one. And man, when you had a really bad year, that calendar, like rest in peace, maybe rip it off, rest in peace, burn it, like just done. All right. I've been there, right? Who had a doozy of a year? It was tough. It was rough, okay? you know, the concept of a mulligan. Scott's a golfer in the back here, but Scott plays really good golf. I'm a terrible golfer, so I need a mulligan. Do you guys know what a mulligan is? I just do mini golf. I don't even stretch for the cool stuff that Scott does. But you know, when you do a terrible shot and it's so embarrassing, you pray people didn't see it. I mean, I hit and it whacked off the windmill, hit the pirate ship and smacked some poor lady in the head and she just whacked into her ice cream. Like, I mean, it was so bad that you just try to hide. And then your friend is like, hey, that's okay, it's a mulligan. It means it doesn't count. I believe God invented the concept of a mulligan, which is a divine reset. Anybody really excited about the gospel, the too good to be true news that gives you a divine reset where you just start all over? There's just something about the human nature that we celebrate something fresh and new. I started polling people what they get really excited about because we like new things, right? Now, I don't like a new cell phone. That stresses me out because I'm not technologically inclined. I am so tech stupid that I married Brad Green. Like, I'm telling you, like, I just look at it and go, fix it, please. It's like my son. He's like, fix, help, dad. I was like, Brad, help. I don't want a new cell phone. But I know most people get really excited about a new cell phone. And they take it out of the package, and then they want, for the next 3 days, they're just playing with all the features and the apps and things like that. So I started polling around what gets people excited about new things. How about the new car smell? Anybody get like the air freshener that smells like a new car, just to remind yourself? I've never had a new car in my life. Kind of get the newer used car, you know, so you just put the little refresh, the fresh thing, and it smells like a new car, right? Okay, what else? Okay, how about this? Ladies, I love a good deal, and even like I'd shop at Gabe's when I had time to dig. But you know when you get something new and then you pop the tag off and you're like, I'm going to wear it. Okay, that's exciting. All right, for you men, when your favorite team gets a first round draft pick, I had to poll. Okay, that's exciting. How about this? For you video gamers, you get the new game just came out on a three-day weekend. Three-day weekend. Yes, yes. And you're still going to be at church on Sunday. Red eyes. I see my teen sometimes. I was like up all night playing a game. He goes, yep. Went to bed at 4 a.m. Still at church. I celebrate you. Or for us, like Brad and I, you know, the human nature, when you have a new member of your family, whether newly adopted or we just had a baby, man, you can't wait to tell everyone about it. You know, we have people in our family, in our church, the day they got adopted, man, we got the picture at the courthouse. Sometimes I was there. You know, we just, look what God did. Look what God did in my family. Or with us, my cousin Mandy took beautiful photos. We probably have never had those photos had she not taken them. And we just want to show everybody the photos. Look at the family. That's so great. We love celebrating new things. We love to celebrate the newness of life. And I'll tell you, when life takes a nosedive sometimes, and you rest in peace that calendar, We are really excited when God goes, guess what? It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Everybody excited? It's a new day and it's a new season. And these are the promises of God. Video game terms, like I said, I was pulling around. So if you have a favorite video game and let's just say you're playing maybe Call of Duty or something like that, and man, you're like in the thick of it, in the battle, and you just got taken out. I mean, it was just a mess. And you get to hit this button called respawn. Rebirth, renewal. And what happens? You get like a whole fresh life, you get your health back, you get to change you get more ammo, you get to change your weapon. Right? And now, listen, I'm trying to get some analogies out there. This is exciting. You're like, yes, okay? Because God's giving you for what? A fresh start, a restart, a new way for a new day. And some of you guys are going to have to change your tools. Some of you guys are going to have to change your weapons. I go, God, what are the tools? What are the weapons? What are the people on my team for this new season? Because here's my catch. Some of you guys have a revelation of a divine reset, which is what God makes all things new. What? We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. What? 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, raise your hand if you gave your life to Jesus. I belong to Christ. This is you. Has become a new person, a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's something to celebrate, right? This is the concept of a new year. So you got the idea of a reset down, right? You got the reset button, the respawn button, the mulligan. All right, now you have to go to the next step. This is where a lot of us drop out. We get a revelation of something, but we don't act on it. And some of you guys are going to have to go, God, for this new season, because I love, thank you so much, Stuart, where are you at? Wonderful word about that. I was like, yes, that's so good. Because new wine for the new wineskin, right? Because if you don't get a recommissioning for the new season, and you keep trying to do the old thing the old way, it's not going to work with the anointing, right? Because the anointing's for what? It's a new day, and it's got to be done a new way. And the answer is in the Holy Spirit. So I want to say this. Okay, reset, you better get a revelation that I get a fresh start with God every day, right? His mercies are renewed every day. Even if you blew up your past, you blew up a relationship, blew up a job opportunity, an interview, just made a royal mess of something. We get a fresh start with God, right? We repent, we just say, God, I messed up. I need you. And he goes, hey, that's okay. I'm not going to hold the past against you. In fact, I've thrown your sins as far as the east is from the west. The words of Buzz Lightyear, because I'm now watching lots of cartoons. I'm excited about Toy Story. I refused to watch cartoons for 20 years because I knew eventually I was going to have kids and only watch cartoons for another 20 years. I'm excited about Toy Story. But to infinity and beyond, right, Buzz Lightyear? He has thrown the memory of your sins as far as the east is from the west, to infinity and beyond. He's not remembering them, so you need to stop. I had to take some thoughts captive. Man, I didn't realize that. You ever have something you didn't even realize it was Satan messing with your head? You're just remembering your past, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that's harassing. That's a foreign thought. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You harassing spirit, get out of my head. I don't need to think about my past. Someone's already bringing up your past. Trying to get maybe some new relationships in your life, people to hang out with, right? All right. So, divine reset. This is what I was praying about this, and I kept hearing reset, recommission, relaunch. What step are you in? If you have a revelation that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away, all things have become new, I get a restart, and you're ready to celebrate that, say amen. Amen. Okay. Now, have you hit the second step? Are you still, thank you, Stuart. Man, it was just, are you still doing the same old thing, the same old way, and expecting different results? Yeah. What is that the definition of? Insanity. If you're still hanging out with the old people, the old crew, that all they do is negative, 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 gossip, complain, cut other people down, rah, 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 bring your past, rub it in your face, verbally abusive, guess what? You got to reset, so now you have to what? Recommit. You got to do it different. You're going to have to do it different. I had this thought, and I'm going to brag about my husband, who's so good at everything I'm bad at. But so Brad likes woodworking. He didn't know I was going to talk about this. And I remember him telling me about that he loves finding out when one of his friends call him. And they're like, hey, I got a big burn pile in the back out here. Got a big burn pile. And there's some wood back here. Do you want to take a look at it? And Brad gets really excited because sometimes people throw away something so precious that in everyone else's eyes, it's trash, it's junk, it goes in the burn pile. And he has that eye, he goes, oh, that's a really good piece of wood. But all you see is what, the gnarly bark, or you know, have you ever gone to like the sea and you see the, you know, the wood that's been tossed around in the sea and the worms have eaten it or whatever? A woodworker sees that with a different eye. It sees it with an artist's eye. And what do? They rescue, they recommission it, and they see something that you cannot even see. And they start working at it, they start cutting things down, and they start what, pruning it, cutting it down, and then they polish it up and they shape it into something beautiful, whether it be a bowl or a piece of furniture or that shelf, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden it's a beautiful work of art. They say that the Lord is it says, we are his masterpiece. He's the artist. He's got the eye. We see something gnarly. We go, I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. Someone threw me away. You ever had someone just throw you away? You got the email, the pink slip. Sorry. You're not good enough. You're ancient. You're old news. You're too old to work here. You're done. You get broken up with, sorry, I'm trading up. I don't want you anymore. Someone says, I'm sorry, your life's too messy. You're not fun anymore. And they stop returning your phone calls. And you feel totally trashed, rejected, not good enough. Someone threw you away. But the master artist rescued you from the burn pile and saw something so beautiful that you couldn't see yourself and no one else in the world saw it. And he rescued you. He looked at you and he goes, oh, I can do something great with this. And recommissioned you. Some of you guys think you're an antique. Just to be stuck on the shelf. I had this thought sitting here during worship. And I was like, oh, you retirees, I'm coming after you in this message. Oh, I don't believe in retirement. Now, I do believe, ready for this, less stress, new seasons. Stress is bad for your body. Listen, if you got a toxic job or you just, listen, you should not be working yourself to the bone the whole life. How people know? There are people that have retired, but it's because what? You need to take care of your body. You shouldn't be under that kind of stress. You shouldn't be carrying that kind of weight till you're 99 years old. That's okay. But guess what? God's recommissioning you for a new season. And God's going to do something in a new way for the new day. It's a new way for the new day. So what's your recommissioning? We're talking about Moses. Moses got his recommissioning at 80. Raise your hand if you're within 10 years of 80. Oh, guess what? God's calling you out. Because Moses changed the course of history of an entire nation, an entire world, and every Christian to this day. That's right, Mr. Dave. That's right. Mr. Dave was there as a family friend through my father's recommissioning. When he thought he blew up and destroyed his whole life, that friend came along his side and held his hand up. It was. And I have the best memories of that grow group. Listen, they had a grow group at their house, and my dad, like I said, he kind of had just went through a rough season, lost it. We just kind of lost everything. We made some mistakes, right? And we were rebuilding. And Dad hadn't quite gotten his recommissioning yet, but God, he got a revelation of a reset. What? He was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Delete, delete, delete. The past was done, but he had to go to someone's Bible study at their house where no one rubbed his past in his face and just said, this, I don't know, Mr. Dave, you were there. I was downstairs running amok in your basement. Listen, our marriage group, like, listen, it's safe. We sometimes get a babysitter for the amount of kids that we have. But listen, God's doing new things and he does it through new relationships. New friendships. If you're going into a new season, all of a sudden you're like, wow, Pastor Sherry's preaching a reset. Pastor Sherry's preaching a reset. I'm a new creation. I'm not in the burn pile anymore. I'm getting recommissioned, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't have a new dream because my old dream just burnt to the ground. My old dream rejected me. My old dream left me. My old dream died. I need a new dream and I can't hear and I can't see. You need to change who you're hanging with. You need to start dreaming with some new people. And I'm gonna kick you guys. If you're not in a Bible study, in a grow group, I'm just being real. It's called a grow group for a reason. Because it's easy to sit here on Sunday. It's a good message. I'm not going to lie. I lived this one. This is for real, for real. Like, I lived it out. And we can take our notes, and we can get that revelation of, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen, amen, amen. That was good. And you close up your notepad, and you go back to living the same old life, the same old way, hanging around the same old people, doing the same old thing, doing... No, I would be real. Some ministry directors are going to get mad at me. There needs to be a little bit of a reshuffling. No, I'm not saying quit. Go find a replacement for you. Hey, listen, don't just step out of something and not get a replacement. That's not love. But God's going to recommission you for a new way, for a new day, and he's going to what? Relaunch you. That's my third one. Reset, recommission, relaunch to doing something new for the new season under the fresh anointing. But don't just bail out on your team, right? That's not love. Go find a replacement because God's going to recommission you a new way for a new day. You're going to have to use new tools, new weapons, because guess what? You've been too comfy doing the same thing over and over and over again, being bored. And bored people are irritated. And bored people criticize because the coffee's not hot enough. No, the coffee's great. I just say that because I've literally been to churches and people complain about the coffee. I'm like, it's free. Why are you complaining about free stuff? Like, just be thankful it's free. Just shoot it back, you know? Like, come on. It's not what it's what it does, man. I had the biggest cup of coffee this morning. Can you tell? As God like totally kind of rewrote my message, I was like, okay, that's so much better. That's good. So where are you at right now? Are you at the reset? Revelation? It's time to dream again. It's a new season. Every day is a new season. Every day we should be asking, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? And he's probably just going to say, I want you to just sit and not do anything and just be with me. And now I want you to dream with me. And that takes some time. And that's what I'm struggling with right now, is finding time just to just... And sometimes I have to do it while I'm doing like 5 loads of laundry. Do you know how much spit up? Like, I just... It's unbelievable. My kid got bigger. Like, he tripled in size. He's big. He's a green, okay? You know, and I'm doing like 5 loads of laundry a day. I have two kids under 2. How do you use that much clothing? I don't even know, because it's on us. And next thing you know, we go through 5 shirts a day, right? Right? So you better, I'm learning how to, this is a struggle. I preach it, but I'm now living it. How do I just spend more time with God? So I'm always have these earbuds. Brad got me earbuds where I can still hear my kids, but then hear something else. Women, how about the multitask? Praise God. God wired us that way. All right. So I have these. I was like, Brad, I want earbuds, but I need to hear my kids so I can do that. And my brain's working through wiring that with a cup of coffee because I'm having to talk to him and pray and get revelation why I'm having to do certain things. But I am pruning my life because we can't keep doing things the same old way. Where are you at right now? Revelation, reset? Raise your hand. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. How many people got a fresh start? New job, new relationship, new friendship, new revelation. Man, just something, you did something new. Okay. Now, recommissioning. New wine of the Holy Spirit coming. Praise God. What are you going to do with it? It needs to go into something in a new way. You know the interesting thing? This concept of repentance. It got all kinds of R words. You note takers love it. Repentance. What? Reset, recommission, relaunch. Okay, let's talk about repentance. Repentance means to not just say, I'm sorry for train wrecking your life. I have train wrecked things because I have this thing called a mouth. This is my problem in life. Okay? Brad is so smart because he'll think before he speaks. It's beautiful. I watch it play out all the time. He's so cool. Like, and I just keep talking till someone laughs, you know, and then I have to do so much more apologizing then because sarcasm. And then I was like, ooh, shouldn't have said that. And Brad, one of his mottos in life, when he's sitting down in a meeting, whether it be like worship team or some of the youth or young adults or myself, he's like, and what you should have said was nothing. I was like, what I should have said was nothing. Cleaning that storm up. Man, I'm just cleaning out that stall. Just kept talking and blah, blah, blah. Okay. What is repentance? Repentance means to change your mindset and change your ways. Some of you guys are renewing your mind in the Word, but you haven't gotten a new way for the new day. Change your ways. Change your ways. Why are you so stuck right now? Why are we so so stuck? Why are we so frustrated? We're like, oh God, the wilderness is so long. Why is this taking so long? Because you haven't done something in a new way for the new day. I'm on page one. I'm on page one because we're resetting, right? And I want to challenge many of you who are in the same place, doing the same old thing, just still frustrated, still angry, still rah, 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 because we haven't changed who are, I got to say this carefully. God's going to change up your team. Now, listen, you know that, like, I was a Girl Scout for a year. I just got in the wrong troop, man. Like, I don't know. I got in middle school and everybody was like a terrible person. Anybody remember middle school? I got recruited. Some of my friends got a badge out of recruiting me. I got suckered into the worst Girl Scout troop ever. Like, literally, we were so bad that we did the math. Actually, I think I did the math on this one because I was like, I'm not into being a Girl Scout. Listen, be a Girl Scout. It's great. I was in the wrong troop in middle school, okay? And I was like, how do we get the badge for the cookies and do the least amount of work? And I was like, if we all buy 4 boxes of cookies, we get the badge and we're done. So we all bought our own cookies and sat there and ate them and got the badge. I mean, that's how awesome we were, okay? In Girl Scouts, I learned some songs. You remember that song? Keep new friends, when the old one is silver and the other's gold. How's it go? That's it. Make new friends, keep the old one is silver and the other's gold. There's some phenomenal Girl Scout troops. Like I said, I just got in the wrong one in middle school. Wrong one. I should have traded up, okay? I learned that song. I'm not saying ditch at people and cut people off because I want to say this. This is the other catch I was hearing. If you get a revelation of God giving you a divine reset, a redo, a refresh, a mulligan of forgiving your life, we're supposed to do that to other people. Oh, anybody got, like, are you still picking knives out of your back? Like, I can't even reach one back here. I mean, it's so deep. Real talk. Doing life with other people is called Christianity. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Still on page one. Go into what? All the world and preach the gospel. So if you're only hanging out with really just the same old Christians and the same old mindset, the same old people, listen, make new friends, keep the old, one is silver and the other's gold. You need to make some new friends. But I like my 4 friends. They don't stab me in the back. Yup, it hurts, it stinks. But the Great Commission is new people in your life. New way for a new day. New way for a new day. I'm not saying cut people off. Now here's the other catch. Forgiveness does not mean, we did a phenomenal book in, it was the most challenging book, oh my gosh, for our marriage group last session was boundaries in different areas of your life. So listen, boundaries are to protect you from abuse so you can fulfill the call of God in your life. So if someone's abusive, you can forgive them and love them from afar, but you don't have to do life with them every day, right? Because they're going to keep abusing you and you're going to be so beat up and cut down with no sense of self-esteem, with no extra energy. Because when someone is abusive verbally, or I'm not even talking physically right now, get away from that. You don't have the extra to what? Go be Jesus to someone else. All right? So when I say forgiveness, that doesn't mean you have to be besties with someone that keeps, like I said, you just can't get those knives out of your back fast enough, okay? But we do need to forgive. Give them a divine reset. And that's okay. Pray great people into their life. And you can see them at Walmart instead of going like this. I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. You know you've done it too. Bunch of liars if you didn't go down the other aisle because you saw that backstabber. And you can go genuinely, and it'll probably take you about a year. Real talk, some of the people that I have loved deeply that have just, you know, it hurt. Took me about a year to every day just bless them, forgive them. I pray good health over them. I pray blessings over their family, you know, blessing over their finances or whatever. And you can say, hi, good to see you, love you from afar. It's okay. It's okay. Make new friends, keep the old one, is still there in the other. It's just an old friend from an old season, a different season, a past season. But guess what? You're in a new season. And if all you're doing is talking about the backstabbing of the old season, you are stuck. And you don't have a revelation of a divine reset, which is the gospel, the new birth. I've been born again. The gamers call it respawn. Whatever you want to call it, rebirth, respawn, reset, revival, all those R's. Forgiveness is hard, but he forgave us. We are to forgive others. And maybe that's going to help you get to the next step, which is recommission. It's time to start dreaming again. Because I remember when I found myself in the burn pile of rejection and not good enough and total destruction and going, I am not coming back from this. My life, as I knew it, was over. I have been there and they all talking. No, oh, that's called the prayer ministry. They're just all talking. Oh, don't you love it? People are like, do you have a prayer chain? I said, you mean a gossip chain? No, we don't have one of those. But we have women's prayer. We don't talk about your business, but we do pray, right? Women's prayer this Saturday. It's a lot of fun. So I should go on to page 2, right? Here we go. The power of the gospel, the almost too good to be true news, the divine reset. Colossians 3, 1 through 6. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you have died to this life. Oh, rip that calendar page off. 2025, just give me a lighter. Psh! Old life is gone. Thank you, Jesus. And your real life is hidden with Christ and God. You know, it's an interesting word, hidden. Don't you love, I love an Easter egg hunt. My pop, he had all the hiding places figured out. And don't you love for the oldest, I was the oldest in my family. Emma, we're the oldest, right? You know, the younger kids got it so much easier than we did. All right, so the younger kids got to go out first for the Easter egg hunt, and I'm kicking the dirt on the back, Michael and I, you know, the caboose over here. All right, and Grandpa hid for the newbies, them new Christians, them new believers. Man, those little treasure things in the easiest places, they just find them right away. But man, us people that have been following Jesus a long time, why is it taking so long on that treasure hunt that's supposed to be fun because we're supposed to be doing it with him? And you know the great thing about my pop-up? He's a loving man. He wasn't a baiter. Like, he would give us hints. Hey, look over there. Hey there, tiger, look over there. He'd give us hints. And that is why we need to stay vitally connected to the vine. Because there are things hidden. There are dreams hidden. There are treasures hidden. There are prophetic words inside of you that he wants to reveal to you. There are treasures in his word. That page you have read 1,000 times. Ephesians is about to fall out of my Bible because every hard time I just go back there, and that's why it's about to fall out of my Bible. And you'll see something brand new hidden in plain sight. And the recommissioning of the new dream with God. You think your life is over and he is pulling you out of the burn pile? He's going, oh, I got something great for you, man. I'm going to give you this wild story that only that one person at work, that's the only story that they're going to listen to. It's the only story that's going to open up their heart and mind to the reality of a divine reset. And it's your story. And it's only a mistake if God can't use it to help someone else. The only way he can't use your train wreck story to help someone else is if you don't share it. And then he steals twice. What? I had a friend that made some mistakes. It's one of my roommates, phenomenal. But I remember we were doing youth ministry together and she would never share her testimony because it was not that long ago. It's a blur of the timeline. But now Satan stole twice. And he's put you in shame. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just called your story. Have you read the Bible? There's a lot of train wreck stories that God resets, redeems, buys back, recommissions, and what relaunches, that goes to the next one. Okay? So you need to dream big. You need new dreams. Your old dream dead and died. You know, people have free will. Things happen. Awful things happen. Horrific losses. We live in a broken world. Why'd this happen? We live in a broken world. Satan stinks. He steals, kills, and destroys. I do not obsess about why. I am not smart enough to have it all figured out. But I do put my eyes back on Jesus and go, I don't know how you're going to redeem this. My life is the opposite of the gospel. Anybody been in that season where you go, this doesn't preach well. It's the opposite of what the Bible says. I went through a prolonged season where I was like, the Bible says this, but I'm living this. You're just in the middle of the story. Romans 8, 28, when we pray, prayer is talking to God. When I just keep talking to him and keep listening and keep talking to him and asking why, and I don't know, but I'm going to stay connected with him. He promises to rework all things together for good. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. Famous Bill Johnson says that. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. You're just in the middle of your story. He preached that, and I got revelation of it. I go, this is terrible. I'm in like the worst. I'm in the middle of the movie. You know the movie? Like, you know, where everything just go. I mean, they're just. Anybody like watching explosions? Just that my life is that explosion. Certain Christmas movies, you know. All right. You live in the worst part of your life and you're like, this is impossible. Mission impossible. Jesus is the God of the impossible. So that means you're just going to have to keep moving forward. It's often in the middle of the story, God changes up their team, right? It's a real page turner. Just keep sticking with him. He will redeem it. Where part are you at? Are you at the reset? Are you at the recommissioning? The new dream? The fresh launch? You think you're that, oh, I'm going to go back to the antique. You think you're the antique that someone put in the shelf and, ah, you know, I've done my duty serving the Lord. I've done it. I've done this. I've done that. I've served in every area of this church. And now I'm just going to sit back here on the shelf where the antiques sit. Just let all the young people do it. We're idiots. We're dumb. I'm dumb. I'm going to do dumb things all the time. I have people in my life that remind me of it. It's a wonderful thing about repentance. I was like, oh, I was dumb. I'm so sorry. And then you got to change your ways or you're going to keep going. So for all you people that think you're an antique, man, I'm going to tell you those antiques are worth a lot of money and I'm getting you off the shelf. And I'm going to connect you with a lot of younger people that we need wisdom. And how about this? We need aunties and uncles and relationships. Some of us need mothers and fathers, healthy people, because the biological ones were not healthy. We need you, and I'm going to pull you off the shelf. Some of you guys are just holding on. Pastor Sherry, I want to stay in this department. I've done it. I'm comfortable here. Just, Pastor Sherry, I'm not comfortable doing this. Well, reset, recommission, relaunch. I can't throw you, so I'm going to try to pull you off that shelf and throw you into something new where you're like, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable. You mean you need Jesus now? You need, oh, you're going to do something by faith. Oh, good, because that's the gospel. All right, here we are. Where are we at? We're at page 2. Here we go. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose. And do, this is the Amplified. Super abundantly, more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power, which is his grace, that we receive by what? Faith. That is at work within us. You know, when it's working within us, can people see it? So it means you're going to have to do something painful and uncomfortable, something you don't want to do, because you're going to have to do it by faith. It says, do this by comfort. Would we be getting anywhere? Just still sticking in our reset, doing the same old thing, bored, irritated, complaining, gossiping. Him who is working within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. I just saw that. Glad God rewrote this. I'm seeing new stuff in the Word of God. Through him, and to him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations. Everybody raise your hand if you're an all generation. I'm pulling you off the shelf. I am recommissioning you because we need you. It's time to dream again. You need a recommissioning. So you need to dream with God. You need a God's eye view. You need to see, I preached last week, those prophetic words of encouragement need to be released out of your life into someone else when you feel unqualified. You feel like you're a mess. You're just a mess and a dirt and da-da-da-da. And you need to what? Strength and comfort flow out of us into other people when we step out in faith. And what strength and comfort come to us in healing? What? He comforts us as we comfort others. I preached it last week. Go back and listen. There is gold inside you, and you need to do something uncomfortable. And let God pull you off that pile of rejection that you've been living in. I don't care how many silly employers rejected you. They're idiots. You were the answer to someone else's prayer. Well, guess what? Someone else is going to value and treat you well, but you got to keep applying, right? Reset, recommission, relaunch. It's going to take some action. My mom was a cheerleader. People asked if I was a cheerleader. I'm like, as a pastor, I kind of am, but I'm not coordinated at all. But action, action, we want action. A-C-T-I-O-N. What, you can kind of hear these things, right? It's called faith. Faith is action. You want to learn how to spell faith? F, no, R-I-S-K. Faith is a risk. Faith does not feel comfortable. Faith is a leap. Philippians 3:13, there's a voice in your head that you're going to have to tell to be quiet in the name of Jesus because it's harassing you. It's just constant. There's thoughts that are our thoughts. Okay. But you know the intrusive thoughts that are just pounding over and over and over and over again? You tell it to go in the name of Jesus. You harassing spirit, get out of my head in Jesus' name. I had to do this. I didn't even realize it was something recently. Like, I didn't even realize what it was. It's a lot of what-if scenarios. I was being harassed by what-if scenarios. I didn't even realize it was, it kept coming. It started messing with me where I couldn't move forward. I finally was like, oh, 2 months late on that one. Oh, hormones, you know. On top of that, what if scenario? Just be quiet in the name of Jesus. Don't look back. Philippians 3:13, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its own time. Did it say your time? Didn't say, I love my timing. My timing is perfect. I have it all figured out. I know how God needs to do things in my life with certain people in certain ways. I got it all figured out because I'm a planner. I got a color code system for planning. Ask all my teens and my young adults make fun of me because I love color coding. Like, I just love it because I feel like I'm in control. And God sees your color coded plan and went, now you need me. Okay, all right. He makes everything beautiful in its own time, not your timing. So I want to say this, you need to get off your timeline. Because if you read, we're going to read the story of Moses. Moses was in that wilderness for 40 years because he did something stupid. But he got recommissioned at the age of 80 and transformed a nation. His relaunch, his recommissioning, and his reset totally overflowed to an entire generation being set free from slavery. Get off your timeline, get out of your box. But I want to do this. This is my ministry. I love it. I always want to do this. It'll be so good. God, you're going to do it like this and this way with this person on my team. Oh, it'll be wonderful. In fact, I'm going to put it all over my social media. Do it like this. Oh, good. Now you don't have a plan anymore, so I can use you. Great. All right. Recommissioned. Here we go. You're going to have to start getting some new dreams, guys. Isaiah 61, verse 3. I read Isaiah 61 over my life in faith every day for 3 years. Not as a religious, ritual. It wasn't like that. Literally, because I was falling apart. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I couldn't barely get through the back door of that church had I not had the team of sweet Mark Salmon and Miss Jurl. Like, these are my two hugs. I was like, I'm going to get Mark and then Miss Jurl. I'm going to make it up front to my mom. And I was going to get back to being who I was called to be. So every day I read Isaiah 61 over my life, and I recommended the Amplified Classic. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to set captives free. But I'm a captive. Well, guess what? He set you free, and he's going to take other people out of prison with you. The whole chapter is profound. Verse 3, it says, he gives a crown of beauty from ashes from that burn pile. Joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. But you're going, all I see is ashes, all I see is mourning, all I see is despair. And yep, that's how you are highlighting your Bible. We find what we're looking for. And if you want an excuse to stay in misery in the burn pile, you'll find it. You'll take scriptures out of context. But guess what the other half is? It is acknowledging. You can say, my life is a wreck. It's ugly. It's terrible. All I've experienced is loss and disappointment. And broken promises and betrayal and abandonment and rejection. That's all. Okay, and it's in there. It's in the Bible. Guess what? But keep reading. Don't skip over the hard stuff. But don't skip over the good stuff too. Just because you haven't experienced it yet. Because I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living this side of eternity. And if you don't look for it, listen, I am the first one to tell you my life is falling apart, that it's just rough. I'm not one of them liars. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm having a bad day, you're going to hear it. Bless God, shaking. Amen. I'm fine. I'm good. Amen. 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 Pastor Sherry does not do that with you. I'm like, it's been a train wreck. I am a mess. I'm really dealing with it. Why? Because it's in there. It's in the Bible. You got to be honest. But guess what? The answer's in there too. So you have to keep reading. So you're going to find what you're looking for. If you want excuses, you'll find them. I'm not going to give them to you. What does it say? He gives you a crown of beauty for ashes. Joyous blessing instead of mourning. That means there are going to be ashes in your life. There is going to be mourning in your life. And praise instead of despair. So if you're in the middle of ashes, mourning, and despair, I was too. And I had to read Isaiah 61 to say that this is not the end. This is just the middle of my story. And I'm going to declare and be in faith of my life. And I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't care how long it takes, but I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, which is beauty, joyous blessing, and praise. I'm trading my sorrow for the joy of the Lord. But Satan really likes to lie and twist our view of loss and delay and regret with hopelessness. And I've been in loss and delay and regret. I've been in tragedy. I've been in the places where you cannot stop crying. You know, when you like have cried so much that you've literally run out of tears and you get to the places. I actually believe this in Romans 8 when it talks about praying in the spirit. Yes, I believe there's praying in the spirit and praying in tongues, but there's something called the groanings, which is such a deep, emotional, raw, honest place of prayer that you run out of words. And it's almost just a sound. And God hears it. And he redeems it. And he makes something so beautiful. And he promises, Romans 8, 28, that when you keep talking to me, and even if you keep crying to me, I will rework all things together for good. And a fresh recommissioning and a relaunch. It's not permanent. It's not forever. It's not a permanent loss. You have to take your thoughts captive, though, and remind yourself of the promises of God. Psalms 27, 13, I kept quoting it. I remain confident, confident. Faith is confidence in God. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had to read and read and read and declare and pray over and over again until something inside me was almost birthed. A deep knowing. Hope is a deep knowing that God's got this. Faith is seeing things that are not as though they are. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Faith has to see it. I'm not going to see it unless I start reading it and see it in someone else's life. I hang out with other people. I go to a grow group because I've seen the faithfulness of God, and he doesn't play favorites, and I can see it playing out in their life. I can see it playing out in the word of God. And I'm going to keep reading it and dwelling on it and meditating on it until something comes alive deep in my gut. That's called hope. God's got this. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know. This is a mess. I'm a mess. He's got this. We got 12 minutes. Let's talk about Moses. All right, Moses, go ahead. Exodus 2 through 3. I've challenged you to go back and read it. If not, watch The Prince of Egypt. Just kidding. Please don't get your theology from movies. Listen. It's great. We love them songs. I'm going to be listening to that song. I had some kid show song in my head morning and night. I was like, Brad, we can't watch that show anymore. Oh my gosh. So maybe you're hearing the Prince of Egypt theme right now. It's fine. But don't get your theology from it. Go right to the Bible. Listen, I love The Chosen. I really enjoy it. But your theology shouldn't be coming from the entertainment industry. But it's really good. It makes things come alive. It sparks things. It's good. But your theology comes not from other people's interpretation, not from other people's experiences, not from my own experience, but directly from the Word of God. So Moses was called by God and used by God to set captives free from slavery in Egypt, to lead an entire nation to a new beginning, to a new land of promise. But before Moses could do this, he himself needed a new beginning. So we forget this part of the story. But a long time ago in a faraway place, Moses made a big mistake. In youth ministry, I start all my stories like this. A long time ago in a faraway place, because I have to blur the timeline, right? Now I'm older, so the timeline is more blurred. But a long time ago in a faraway place, raise your hand if you made a big mistake. Oh my gosh. Maybe it was a bad business partnership. Maybe, you know, you went one place to college and you should have not. You dated this one person. You married this one person. I don't know. You made an investment. I had a friend that took their entire savings of him and his wife and invested something. And it went. And then he went, and that's why we don't own our house. And I went, oh, God's going to redeem this. Has anybody made mistakes? It's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. Declared bankruptcy. They took your house. They left you. It's not the end. Moses thought it was the end. He thought he ruined his life because he had these burning passions. If you have a burning passion inside you, something that angers you, God wants to take that and recommission it, not towards anger, because anger is the wrong weapon. He wants to give you a new weapon in the restart, the respawn, right? New weapon, new ammo, not your anger, but passion, yes. He saw slavery. Slavery should anger you, a righteous injustice, right? But we don't respond with violence. So he saw probably something so horrific. I don't think it was just a fist fight in the middle of like the backyard. I think he saw a horrific abuse going on in slavery. It's not a laughing matter. He knew he was born a Hebrew, a Jew, right? And he saw an Egyptian slave master horrifically abusing another brother. That should anger you, right? But you ever responded in the wrong way because you used an old tool? We use the old way of doing things for a new day, and it's supposed to be a new way. And he took matters into his own hands and made a mess. I have done this. Oh my gosh, I have done this. I have done this. Where I've pushed, I've forced, and I went with a relationship. So what he did, he responded in the wrong way, and he murdered the Egyptian. Was it right what he was doing? No. Was it horrific? It was disgusting what he was doing. It doesn't give all the picture of it. I'm sure it was very, very graphic, something you just wanted to stop. But what happened then is he became a fugitive. He had to get out of he became an exile. So he was the prince of Egypt by adoption, and then he had to be exiled. That means you got to go. If you come back, we're going to kill you, right? And he just thought his life was over, totally ruined. You ever make a decision? Whether it's a career path, a relational decision, a financial decision, and all of a sudden you're like, I have destroyed any hope of recovery. I'm just going to keep my head down, not make waves, and never try ever again. Because I'm scared. So he ran to the wilderness, the backside of the desert in the land of Midian, and he became a shepherd. And it's very interesting. So he's a prince of Egypt. That means he's used to running the show, you know, with like, you know, his clean hands and his gold on his fingers and a little, you know, Egyptian prince garb, and now he's on the backside of the desert in the wilderness doing the dirty job. Did you know Egyptians looked down upon the shepherds? It was the dirty, dirty job. So he's eating crow. He's working the rough, dirty job. He is embarrassed. You ever had to work a job like that? I have. Where you started over and you're like, when someone comes, now you're dodging down the aisle because you don't want to see him working at that one place because it hurt your pride. But that wasn't the end of his story. And let me read this here. Okay, Exodus 2, 11 through 15. In the course of time, Moses grew up, and then he went to see his own people and watched them suffering under the hard forced labor. He saw a Hebrew, one of his own people, being beaten by an Egyptian. He looked around, and when he didn't see anyone, he beat the Egyptian to death and hid the body in the sand. When Moses went there the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting, and he asked the one who started the fight, "Why are you beating another Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you our ruler and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought that everyone knew what he had done. When Pharaoh heard this Moses had done, he tried to have him killed, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. Okay? So he is hiding out. Moses needs a reset. Moses needs a new beginning. Moses desperately needs a fresh start, and God has a really wild way of doing it. So, Exodus 3, 1 through 4. Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law. This is very interesting. picked him up, put him in a new group of people, a new family, a totally new culture, a foreign culture. Go back and read Jethro. He's a cool guy. God put him beside someone doing a dirty job that had a lot of wisdom in him, and Jethro comes into play later about not burning out in ministry. This is a divine appointment connection in his life, okay? So he's doing the dirty job. And he was led, when he led the flock to the west end of the backside of the wilderness, he came to the mountain of God, Horeb. And the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire, blazing out of the middle of the bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, I will now, everybody say this, I will now. Is that yesterday? Is it tomorrow? Is it next year? It's now. I need to do something different. I will now turn aside and see the great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him. New way for a new day. You got a revelation of the reset, right? But you're like, I don't know how to do anything different. I don't know what I can do differently. I don't know what I can prune. I don't know what I can cut out. I don't know. I have no vision. I have no new dream. My old dream is 6 feet under. I'm pulling the ashes out of the burn pile. And God says, this is how. He goes, I need you to turn aside and step aside from the grind, from your patterns, from the old way of doing things. Because the definition of insanity is living 2026 the exact way you live 2025 and expecting different results. And you're exhausted and you're bored and you're frustrated and you're angry, or I don't know. My answer to every question is, I don't know. You need to turn aside. And I'll say this is where we go, I need to do something different. I need to do life with him. I need to step aside. You know, it's very interesting. The children of Israel were what? Recommissioned, relaunched, restarted, new beginning with the leadership of Moses. But do you know what disqualified them? Is they kept looking back to Egypt. I think some of us are enslaved to the Egyptian of this day, which is the modern world system. I think we are enslaved to a cultural mindset of busyness. I love being busy. And then busy is my excuse to not do anything that God has called me to do, because I have no time, no space. You know, I don't have time. I already have my four friends. I already have my patterns, my ruts. And I think that's your Egyptian slavery. Egypt, the grind, the world's way of doing things. That's the American way. I love people from other cultures. They have this culture of chill, of siesta. I love the culture of siesta. I need to get me some culture of siesta. I need to step aside and show God, I don't have time. Well, something's wrong then. Listen, maybe your time is doing laundry. Maybe it is my mom would fight to mow the lawn. Because at our house, we had a big old yard. So it took, you know, you had that time with you and no kid. And it was just you and Jesus. Do it with him. I'm learning how to do this. It's a struggle. Get my earbuds out while I'm listening and doing things with him. Okay, where are we at here? Turn aside. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So much I want to say, but for the sake of time, I want to say this, 1 Kings 19:11-12. And I spoke about this right before my maternity leave, so go back. I was talking about discernment, hearing the voice of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But Elijah was on this mountain and there was earthquakes and fire and wind and hurricanes and it was all this spectacular, wild, showy, feely stuff. And God wasn't in any of it. And many of us are looking for this experience, this tangible, like warm, fuzzy, tingly, loud voice from heaven, this stranger to walk off the street and give you a word. And sometimes that happens, but that's the 1%. We often miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. And the supernatural was the still small voice, which you will hear when you turn aside. So I want to say you need to shake up your life and do something different. There's so much I want to say, but Holy Spirit, just give me wisdom just to wrap this up here. Hear me on this one. God recommissioned Moses, and he goes, hey, I'm calling you out into the deep end. I'm calling you out to a scary place where you're totally unqualified to the people that know all your dirt. I'm going to send you back to the place that you train wrecked. And they don't even whisper your gossip. They just shout it in your face. Okay? I'm going to send you back, and you're going to need me, and you're going to do it in faith, and you're going to be, and he's like, no, I can't. I stutter. I'm totally unqualified. He goes, good. That's why I'm calling you. But don't worry, I'm going to put you on a team. Oh, this is another thing in our American culture. I talk about culture. I studied it in college. I studied business and organization and communication. We studied American culture and compared it to other cultures in the world. And you learn how to do things better. You learn from other people. So much I want to say. Lord God, I thank you. You need to do life differently. Raise your hand if you have a revelation of reset. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Okay? Recommissioning. I need to dream again with God for the new season. I need new dreams. I need to turn aside from the grind. I'm not going to be enslaved to Egypt. Israel never entered the promised land because they kept looking back to Egypt, the grind. Our American culture grind, busy, 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 busy. My kids are in 4 different things, 5 different things. I'm doing this different thing. I have had those. I'm trying to not have 4 different things per weekend. I mean, people like 4 different birthday parties on a weekend. It's just like ridiculous. Just Amazon it. Love you. Send in a gift. It's okay. It's fine. In your dream again for your relaunch, I'm going to tell you this. This cultural thing in America, we are an independent nation. It's all about me, 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 me. It is. If you study other cultures, there's a sense of community. Actually, it's very fascinating. The Bible was written to a different culture that we need to learn from. The Hebrew culture. You ever been around different cultures where it's about community, it's about family, it's not about me, 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 me. God is going to recommission you and relaunch you kicking and screaming half the time. But he's going to put you on a new team. And this is where we don't read the Bible correctly. We mess this up all the time. So God, what is my calling? Huh. What am I called to do? My ministry. I'll have a website that spotlights me, 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 me. And you wonder why you can't hear anything. Because it's about me. And when you read the Bible, he puts you on a team and all you hear is backstabbing and pain and hardship and betrayal. And it's called people. People are people-y. People are jerks. I'm a jerk sometimes. I do a lot of apologizing. Be quick to apologize. But ready for this? Repentance is biblical. Repentance means change your ways. So if someone apologizes all the time, but they don't change their ways, you go, make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. Good to see you, old friend. But I'm not hanging out. You didn't change your ways. But I'm going to hang out with some fresh start, new people, what? That have healthier ways that are following God, and God's going to put you on a new team. Here's the thing about your new team. God put Jesus on this earth, the Son of God, on a team. If the Son of God, God himself, needed a team, why do you think you don't need a team? And he put him on a team with Judas. Judas was a jerk. Judas stank, and he knew the whole time he's going to stab him in the back and leave. We're going to learn from it, right? People are messy. And if you just want to avoid pain, you're going to avoid people, and you're not going to fulfill the Great Commission, which is go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel, and it's not just with talk, it's doing life with people. So I'm going to kick you. I'm going to take you off the shelf. I'm going to help you dust yourself off from the last kick in the tush that someone left you high and dry and kicked you in the burn pile and said you weren't good enough and rejected you. And I'm going to say, guess what? You're perfect just the way you are. You're good enough for him. Stop hanging on to the burn pile of familiarity and rejection, and all your friends and all you do is just talk about your past. and allow God to remix some things and put you on a new team with people that drive you nuts. Did you meet Peter? Hello? So funny. I really think Peter drove everybody nuts. And God set him up to build his church on. So God's going to put you on a team of Peters that say the wrong thing, that do the wrong thing, and you're always cleaning up their mess, but guess what? You're on a team, and now you need Jesus. And they need you. I want you to get a revelation of the Word of God and stop cherry-picking things that give you excuses to stay where you're at. And you're going to have to do something different and stop complaining and grumbling. Hello, Israelites, about, oh, grumble, grumble, complain, complain. This is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard. This is hard. Life is hard. God is good. And that's why you put some good people in your life. And if you don't have any good people, stop holding on to toxic, abusive relationships, okay? Make new friends. Keep the old one and some of the others going, hi, old friend. Good to see you. But I'm now going to hang out with some healthier people that are what? Running hard after the kingdom of God. Even if they're a bit of a train wreck by doing it. Hello, Peter. Peter's the only one that walked on water. He wasn't a failure. He was the only one that actually gave it a good old-fashioned try and took a risk. And he's famous, not for the mess up, but he's the only one besides Jesus Christ that walked on water. But he sank. Guess what? Jesus pulled him up. All right, I'm going to preach. I need to stop. Stand up. We're going to pray. I'm halfway through my notes, so we'll see what God wants to talk about next week. I don't know. Amen. It's fun when God kind of throws some things out and you got to walk on water yourself. So let's pray. I want to say this. I challenge you, you don't have to, but I challenge you to just lift your hands up in a place of receiving and say, Jesus, I need you. I need a greater revelation of a divine reset. Jesus, what are your dreams for me? What do you want to do with my life? What are the new dreams? Who is the new team? Who is the new team you want to put me on? Who are new people you want to put in my life for divine connections? To recommission me for this new season. And Jesus, this relaunching thing, it shakes me. But I am willing. Be it done unto me according to your will, your word. Show me what action steps to take by faith. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Happy New Year. Good questions to pray about. Have a great afternoon. If you'd like prayer or just want to talk or pray with, come up. We'd love to catch up and pray with you. If I could have 5 grow group directors, grow group ministry directors up here.